This is the business of sports.
Should Major League Baseball shorten up the season?
How do we present football to the audience of the future?
I don't think that most players understand the power that they have.
Michael Barr. The future of IndyCar racing is looking bright.
Scott Soschnick.
Very basic math here. More bidders means more money.
Evan Novy-Williams.
The team value has essentially quadrupled.
And the leaders in the sports industry. Time to bring in our guest, Hal Steinbrenner.
National Hockey League Commissioner Gary Bettman.
Atlanta Braves President Derek Schiller.
Patriots President Jonathan Kraft.
Bloomberg Business of Sports
from Bloomberg Radio.
Hello, I'm Scott Soschnick.
I'm Evan Novy-Williams.
And I'm Michael Barr. And this is the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast, really, where
we Evan didn't participate again.
Explore the big money issues in the world of sports.
You liked our stories off air, huh?
Oh, yeah. My. Today, we begin with, let's get serious. I'll get bright. Sorry.
Yeah, well, it's your directive.
I know, man. I can't help it, man. That was funny. Anyway, Brooklyn Nets.
Yes.
They are making big. Now they're winning.
That's the difference here. Well, let me see the stats here. 21-6, and who would have known this? I knew they were winning. Like, they were on a streak. I didn't realize they were 21-6 since December 7th.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They've been rolling. Obviously, they started out poorly, but when they got there, they reached down, as, you know, the old cliche is like, you know, we had to take a look in the mirror, and they did, and then they've been playing
some
good
ball.
This is
about Sean Marks and Kenny Atkinson. They really have. I know, because I have talked to folks over there, a big part of the Kenny and Sean regime has been to change the culture. And this could be a business story. I told Evan I want to get Sean Marks on the show specifically to talk about the process of changing culture. And that means everything from getting everybody into the same space, not one in their practice facility and the salespeople down by the arena. Everybody has to be in the same place to share the same culture. I know Sean believes that. So we're going to talk to him about that. But what they're doing now, they have a new campaign. It's a new marketing campaign. Bet on Brooklyn. Okay, I see. Bet on Brooklyn. But here's what I like. They're going after the Wall Street folks.
Yep.
They're going to have ads and carts, branded carts at the Fulton Street subway stop, the Wall Street stop, that they think the folks who are the finance folks who maybe typically hang out at Madison Square Garden are ready to come to Brooklyn, and this is a good time because they're saying, come join now. And they've frozen their season ticket prices for 2 years. Buy now, you get 2 years, no price hikes. That's the pitch. Edmund, you buying?
Yeah. Am I buying? Maybe. Yeah. This is the same franchise that, you know, 10 years ago did that promotion, 10-game promotion where they were giving out reversible jerseys, one of the Nets and the other one of the visiting team. So if you were coming to watch LeBron James and the Cavs, you could just reverse your Devin Harris jersey to be a LeBron James jersey.
I like the Devin Harris reference. Very good. Well, that's what they did years ago. I used to tell you, driving on the New Jersey Turnpike, the Nets billboard would be, come see whether the biggest stars on the other team, Shaq in Orlando, David Robinson. They would really advertise the best players on the other team because they just weren't very good.
And to Brett, your Mark's credit, a guy we've had on the podcast before, when they did that promotion, I remember him saying something along the lines of, you know, we're a rebuilding team. This is a team of stars. You know, they were owning that.
Now
that the Nets are in fifth place, sixth place,
they're in the playoffs,
surging.
Yeah, they're in a playoff.
They are one of the hottest teams in the league. If you go back a month or two, obviously the branding has to change in that regard, and this seems like a smart step. And as you said, Wall Street has historically been a Knicks crowd. It's an MSG crowd. If the Nets can capitalize on this buzz at a time when the Knicks are not good, to maybe lure some of those people, a lot of them live in Brooklyn,
to
the Barclays Center.
Here's the question.
That's a success.
It's all about, you know, the Nets are poised. Maybe the superstar free agent will want to come to Brooklyn. I think the culture they've built, be careful. The culture they've built seemingly is built on hard work. Like, these guys bring it every night. That's what they demand. Bring it every night. And I've always said, if you can get a team to do that, you'll win more than half your games just on that alone, because so many teams don't. Bring it every night. You better bring the right. If you're going after stars, better be the right star. It better be Tim Duncan, who's going to be the model citizen and show everybody else, I buy in, so you better buy in. Better not be some prima donna who's going, I don't feel like practicing today. That doesn't work. So which stars are out there fit in the culture of what the Nets are trying to do?
And my dad, shout out Richard Williams, not an NBA guy, but
puts up with a lot. Love you, Dad.
Is kind of becoming a Brooklyn Nets fan. He loves Jared Allen, the guy who's blocking all these superstars. He is enjoying the team that the Nets have put together because, as you said, it's built a little differently than a lot of the more buzzy NBA teams.
And where does Nita Novi come down on the side of the Brooklyn Nets?
That's a great question. I do not know.
All right. Well, we'll have to ask.
She bleeds Duke blue, though.
All right. By the way, coinky dink. Think about it. Guess who else is coming to Brooklyn? Amazon. The team is kicking butt. That's Amazon. Yeah. Aren't they the headquarters?
Long Island City?
Yeah.
Okay.
In that area.
Technically so, Queens.
Technically.
But, yeah, same kind of thing. Yeah.
Technically not Brooklyn, but okay. Yeah, close
technically
enough.
Not Brooklyn.
Very close.
Two completely different boroughs.
I get it. But what I'm trying
there's
to get.
There's ways to get there.
There's ways to get there.
And a lot of Amazon employees will live in Brooklyn.
I was going to say, that's where I'm trying to go with this thing.
So you're saying that there's a whole new bunch of folks that they might be bringing on.
That's
board
what I'm saying. It's like, you know, a lot of people are going to go, and Brooklyn is the hot place to be now to live, and it's, you know, it's going to happen.
Okay. I like it. Kudos to the Nets. Let's see how many Wall Streeters decide to head out to Barclays Center.
So, and by the way, speaking, we were talking about promotions. I'm surprised that they're doing this. As we know, the Super Bowl is coming up this Sunday at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. The pricing is going to stay the same for hot dogs.
I love Barr finding this. Eben wrote this story before the stadium opened. Like, Rich Truman, who works in radio here, was like, wow, I'm surprised they kept it for the Super Bowl. It's part of the contract. It says any event that takes place in the stadium has community pricing.
Super Bowl.
So what? It's a one-off event. What good would it do to raise the price for one day? Any event that takes place in that building has the community pricing, which means it's a lot lower. All I want to know is never going to happen in Brooklyn, never going to happen at Madison Square Garden, never going to happen in L.A.
Don't say never.
Never. But never going to happen. When did it become okay to charge $8 for a hot dog? $6 for a soda. When did that become okay?
When people at the game are willing to pay for it,
but
right?
But you're held hostage, at least with like – at Citi Field, you can bring your own food. You can bring a pack. At least you can do that. Give the people the option. It drives me nuts that simply because you're held hostage in this building, the prices are what they are. Kudos to Arthur Blank.
Do they make more money because the hot dogs are cheaper, therefore people buy more?
Great question. The way it works is the Falcons pay Levy's, you know, the people who do the concessionaire, a flat fee. So Levy's is okay with it because they know they're going to make X amount of money. And then anything above and beyond that goes to the team. Eben can now, because he was the only one. And go back and look. Maybe you should tweet this story again for those who are a little confused how this works. Everyone was saying, oh, they're making more money, they're making more money, they're making more money. Eben was the only one to do the math and get it right.
Yeah,
seriously, he was the only one.
The Falcons sold a lot more in dollars of food, to be expected, because it was significantly cheaper. However, obviously, if you're shrinking margins that much, you need to sell a lot more to make more money, and that's a critical difference. So a lot of people were reporting the Falcons slashed prices and made more money. That is not true. It's not true yet. There's a chance it will get there. They believe that they will get there. But right now, they slashed prices. They sold a lot more goods, but they did not make more money in concessions than they did in the past. However, if you're familiar with the way stadium economics work, it's not a huge, huge piece of the revenue pie. I think Arthur Blank is happy. Exactly. They're happy to trade off a little bit of a couple million dollars in concession revenue every year for the fact that fans are happy when they go
and
there.
And Eben doesn't have a kid, so he doesn't know how this part works. Because you're willing to come to the game and you're willing to pay the $2 or $5 for the bottomless soda, whatever it is, you're going to go a little bit earlier. You can have your food there. And if you've ever tried to take a kid through a stadium, I guarantee you they have it set up. Disney, you don't have to go through, when you get off a ride, what do? You go through the darn store, so your kid's bugging you every single second. Can I get this? Can I get that wand? Can I get that hat? You take a kid to a game, dad, can I have a hat? Can I have a foam finger? Can I have a jersey? Can I have a bag? Can I have a puck? Whatever it is. So it's not just limited to the hot dogs. There's also a merchandise component as well.
Also, I think it keeps fans longer because then throughout the year they remember their experience, like, oh, I had such a great time, and then throughout the year they'll probably buy more merchandise and go to more games.
So simple, win the kids, because if the kids say, Mom, Dad, I want to go to the game, okay.
Win the pockets.
You got it.
The NFL keeps stats on, you know, at the time before the game starts when your stadium starts to fill up, and no surprise, the Falcons had the earliest average fan arrival in the league. And that's because people are not eating before they go there. They're going there to eat because it's the cheap option.
And I wonder if that's had played a role in also the soccer team drawing 70,000.
I'm sure it has as
I
well.
Mean, if it was that's regular true. Pricing, I bet you it wasn't 70,000.
That's right.
What See? Else we got? That was a little segue. That wasn't even on the list.
That wasn't on the list.
So now we have time. Pick one of the last two. I would say Coke Pepsi because, you know, Mr. Noble Williams was the man.
You go right ahead. No, I think you're right.
No, you're the setup man.
No, you just set it up.
You're the setup man.
You just set it up.
John Wetland, Mariano Rivera. Oh,
Coke, Pepsi, Eben.
Good setup.
Yeah, so the Super Bowl in Atlanta is obviously home headquarters for Coke. Atlanta is, if you've been before, Atlanta is a Coke city. However, the official soda, official beverage of the NFL is Pepsi. And if you've ever been to a Super Bowl before, or you can imagine it, the NFL and the host city does a tremendous job essentially scrubbing rival
brands.
Fiercely
protecting
Very
the
closely
sponsors,
protected, yeah. Especially around the stadium and around the fan zone, this big area, the Fan Fest, which
got
is
tackled.
The most trafficked
no,
area
no,
of the Super
no
Bowl.
No joke. This is not hyperbole. NBA All-Star at the Pepsi Center in Denver.
Right.
I walked out. I think it was in, what's the Coke water? Dasani?
Dasani. Right.
I walked out with a Dasani. I got tackled.
Yeah.
Really? From behind, embraced around the waist, almost down. You have to pour that in a cup, I was told. I'm like, what?
Who grabbed you?
And it's
one of the stadium concession guys, you know, the whatever. Okay. I don't know.
Well, no, first of all, who
not
has the right to
me,
put
not
you
excuse
on your
me.
Hand?
Well, I'm not getting it, you know, whatever. But
no,
he did.
No. That's
I was
my
physically
point.
Touched, yes.
Just say, look, you can't take that in there,
yes.
Pour it in a cup.
Yes.
Nobody has the right to put their hands on you.
Yes, you're right.
He was breaking the cardinal rule of sporting events, exactly. Right? Bringing a non-sponsor into
exactly.
the event.
Well, you put your hands on me, you're going to break the cardinal rule of getting a butt whipping because you nobody puts your hands on anybody.
Medina, you buying any of this? You buying any of this?
I think, would be like, oh,
I'm sorry. I brought my own cup. I'm sorry.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, that's not cool to put your hands on you.
You're missing the point.
We have a good content opportunity here. We're going to take part of the NCAA March Madness.
With a
Pepsi cup and see how he
in
does.
The world. Medina hit the nail on it.
So, Evan, what's Coke doing then? If you're in Atlanta and you're Coke, you have to do something. It's the Super Bowl in your hometown.
And the fun thing about the way this is set up in Atlanta is that within that restricted zone, the zone where only NFL partners are allowed to activate, Coke actually has a physical.
I like when he uses jargon.
Yeah, activate.
I like it.
When they activate.
Coke actually has a physical property. The world of Coca-Cola, which is their big 92,000 square foot museum down in Atlanta, is within the zone that typically would be scrubbed of all competitors. There's a 27 foot Coke bottle in a 100 foot glass tower that's lit at night. it is an unfortunate kind of side effect of the cola wars that we've seen.
You remember, I always say weird stuff goes through my head. I'm just trying to imagine the music that's in like the Coke world. It's like Willy Wonka as
have a Coke and a smile.
Oh my God, get me out of here.
That's it.
At all times. At all times, I'm just going, oh my God.
Oh,
you know,
man.
I actually went to
you
that Coke
taste
factory.
The sugar
you
in
went
your,
to the factory?
I did when I was visiting Atlanta, and there's actually a part towards the end where you get a cup and you get to try every single kind of Coke product. And there was a Fanta. Oh my God, a Fanta soda drink. That was amazing. I don't know. It was just so good.
Bring back the Fanta. I love it. I love it. Oh, this, would drive, product, this would drive me crazy.
Any of you guys ever heard of Verner's?
Verner's, no.
Verner's. That's a Detroit drink. The best ginger ale that was made anywhere, anytime, Verner's.
Still around or no?
It's still around, but you know.
It's like Boylan's. It's like a specialty
like
soda.
Boylan soda. Yeah, that's good.
Really quick. It was called Fanta Exotica.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Can we find that? Can you go? Can we get a little Amazon?
I'm not sure because I went to the different
here.
Regions like of the world, and I think it was a part of like South Africa. Not South
oh,
Africa.
Oh, now
sorry,
now I
Africa.
Got the Disney, It's a Small World going through the little canal. Oh my God, it's a nightmare. Oh God.
Okay, I think we're done for the.
Anyway, Coke.
Yeah. Put that earworm in.
So, what's a better game? Rams and Patriots or Coke versus Pepsi?
Oh man. For me? Coke versus Pepsi. But again, these companies, they do this all the time. The venue itself is actually a Coke venue, you know, so they'll be pouring Coke, but the signs are gone. No Coke cups at the actual game. There's a lot of fun little,
no Coke
little
Pepsi.
Nuance
No
there.
Coke Pepsi. That's the audio we need, Medina. No Coke Pepsi. No Coke.
By the way, at my nine people so far that, oh, have, that have answered on who's going to win, the Patriots or the Rams, five are saying it's the Patriots for now. Four are saying it's the Rams. We're still up there for a day, folks.
Tight race.
It's a close one.
Awful. Driving me crazy, the music underneath it. Now it's subliminal. Drink Coke, drink Coke. Oh, was that? That was Coke, wasn't it? Drink Coke in the movie theater, the subliminal ads. Yeah. All right. Anyway.
This is the Bloomberg Business of Sports Podcast. I'm Michael Barr, along with Scott Soschnick and Evan O.B. Williams.
We are here each and every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, exploring the world of money and sports.
Join us again at the end of the week when we speak with Kevin Demoff, the COO of the Super Bowl-bound Los Angeles Rams.
He was good. It's a good conversation.
It is.
It's
you
a really
like
good,
it, folks.
You want, all I got to say is you got to hear his Wolfgang Puck and Sean McVay story.
You're listening to Bloomberg Business of Sports on Bloomberg Radio around the world. We love you, Medina, and online where you get your podcasts.